Welcome back to Ready Player None, the only podcast that'll track you down on social media to debate you with logic and reason. We're heading into chapter 3 here. We've just had two chapters where nothing much has even happened. Wade went to school is the short version. With a half an hour before his school starts, he's heading into what is a chat room in the Oasis to talk to his best friend H. Now, chat room is apparently virtual. It's virtual squared. It's not a location. Wade's avatar is still sat in the classroom idling while he's also in this sort of sub forum where he can talk to H. H's basement is also looking exactly like something from the 80s. A suburban rec room, RCA television, Betamax VCR, Laserdisc player, vintage video game consoles, RPG supplements, whatever Dragon magazine is. Now, apparently hosting a chat room costs money, but H gets all his money from being a gladiator in televised deathmatch and capture the flag leagues. In fact, H, Wade's best friend, is more famous than Artemis, somebody who gets several million views on her blog. The basement is a highly exclusive hangout for elite gunters. I don't know why the word gunter's so funny to me. So Wade's avatar, established last chapter, is just a person, a human. But as we go into the basement, we find out about cyborgs, there's demons, there's dark elves, there's Vulcans and vampires. I'm gonna say right now, at this point onwards, throughout the rest of the book, we're not going to see any furries, are we? In this virtual oasis where anyone can be whatever they want to be, there's not going to be any furries. Just, you know, bear that in mind. Wild Boys by Duran Duran is playing, because we can't go a whole paragraph without saying something from the 80s is occurring in the room. I'm just going to look something up here, because I kind of know where this is going. Yeah, I thought so. Don't look up the movie posters for Ready Player One, by the way. But H in this is described as a tall, broad-shouldered Caucasian male with dark hair and brown eyes. And Wade had once asked him if he looked anything like his avatar in real life. He jokingly replied, "Yes, but in real life I'm even more handsome." We will unpack that later. Suffice it to say that H in the movie is some sort of giant orc man. He's playing in television because we literally can't go a single paragraph without mentioning something from the 80s. H apparently names his friends with one-letter names like his own. Parzival he refers to as Zed, or I guess probably Z, giving these Americans. In turn, Wade refers to H with a random name beginning with H. On this instance, he's saying, "What up, Humperdink?" Having previously called him things like Harry, Hubert, Henry, or Hogan, because H has once confided that his real name begins with an H. We'll get back to that. I know what's coming. Spoilers. We'll get back to that. Put a pin in that. That's the catchphrase for this podcast. Put a pin in that. So, H and Wade met in the Gunter scene. After Wade noticed H had his 80s trivia down cold and not just the canon stuff either. What does canon mean in this context? Is there non-canonical 80s stuff? Is it Stranger Things? Is it the fourth Ghostbusters movie? Wade and H are basically the same sort of character. They've got the same knowledge of Gunter trivia, the same expertise in video games. They've both got terrible home lives. And H just seems to be in the Oasis even more than Wade manages to. Plus he's edging him out on gameplay and competition, giving the televised gladiator bit. Compared to Wade, H seems to have a bit more money in that he can move between in-game planets. In this instance, going to a planet named Gygax. Yeah, I've played Dungeons & Dragons. We all know who Gygax was. To rack up some XPs. XPs? It says XPs here. I would have said rack up some XP. They discuss going through old things mentioned in the almanac and the hatchery and so on. H says he was just reading this great piece on Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. And then Wade says, "Made for TV, released in 1985, I recited. Star Wars trivia was one of my specialties. Total garbage, a real low point in the history of the wars. Says you, assface, it has some great moments." "No," I said, shaking my head. "It doesn't. It's even worse than that first Ewok flick, Caravan of Courage. They should have called it Caravan of Suck." Why would they have called it that? No one would watch it. Well, I don't think very many people are going to watch a film with Caravan in the title anyway. Prove me wrong in the comments below. Your engagement helps this channel grow. Okay, so we find out what they actually mean by canon. Canon was the term we used to describe any movie, book, game, song, or TV show of which Halliday was known to have been a fan. So people are arguing about whether or not he was a fan of most of these things. Right now they're talking about Lady Hawk, with Wade insisting that Lady Hawk is canon. H responds, "Surely you must be joking." And Wade says, "No, I am not joking, and don't call me Shirley. How dare you stand where Leslie Nielsen stood?" For an entire page of this book, H and Wade argue about whether or not Lady Hawk was a good film, about who was involved with it, who did the music, the director, Richard Donner, the cast. And it just turns into this slanging match. Wade shouts, "You're the one with the Ewok fetish!" To which H's response is, "Don't start on the Endorians again, man." Endorians? As in like Endor, the forest moon thereof. I'm just thinking about an Ewok fetish. You like short girls? So we've got another character entering the basement named I-Rock. That's a capital I, a hyphen, a lowercase r, a zero, and then a lowercase k. I-Rock. Isn't there a Mario boss named I-Rock? So this guy I-Rock comes in. "Are you cocks arguing about Star Wars again?" is I-Rock's first line of dialogue. His third line of dialogue in response to Wade sassing him, or Parzival sassing him, is, "Shut your hole, Penisville!" Because it's a play on Parzival, is the idea. I-Rock is just an angry, angry jerk. He talks about as in-universe as you can get. "This chump is so broke that he has to bum rides to Greyhawk just so he can kill kobolds for copper pieces." Apparently based on a previous occasion where I-Rock shamed Parzival for getting XP from grinding on kobolds? I'm not sure that would work as a shaming tactic, but maybe it works as a shaming tactic when they're labelled Penisville the Mighty Kobold Slayer. But, yeah. Wade calls him an ignorant know-nothing twink. Why twink? What does Ernest Cline think twink means? I-Rock challenges Wade to prove that he's such a clever clogs by holding up an Atari 2600 game, obscuring the title but showing him only the artwork. This being something that's apparently common knowledge among Gunters, but I-Rock is trying to sound impressive by having not heard of it. And Wade's like, "You're joking, right? You just now discovered the Sword Quest series? You're holding Sword Quest Earthworld, the first game in the Sword Quest series, released in 1982. I smiled wide. "Can you name the next three games in the series?" And I-Rock can't. So how much of this book is going to be people batting trivia back and forth from each other? And at this point, the subtext starts to seep in, which any woman on the internet will know well. "Oh, if you're such a fan, name three of their albums." Gatekeeping. That kind of thing. Wade challenges the crowd to name the three sequels to Sword Quest, whatever it was called. I honestly don't care. And H is the only one in the room who can answer Fireworld, Waterworld, and Airworld. "Bingo," I said, and we bumped fists again. Although Earthworld was never actually finished because Atari fell on hard times and cancelled the contest before it was completed. Thanks? Can I just read the textbook version of this without all the unlikable characters and just find out the trivia that way? Oh. Yep, there's a homophobic slur in the middle of here. Thanks, I-Rock. Yeah, my eyes have glazed over with this homophobic slur. I'm just going to skip through this, but let it be known that they keep going on about Sword Quest, who programmed it, what all the pickups were, the winners of the contest, the prizes. And this is another thing about this book wearing its inspirations directly on its sleeve. It's saying, "Since I'd become a Gunter, it had been obvious to me that Halliday had drawn inspiration for his contest from the Sword Quest contest. I had no idea if he'd borrowed any of the puzzles from them too, but I'd studied the games and their solutions thoroughly just to be safe." It's like Ernest Cline is reaching at me out of the page, saying, "You know that thing they did in real life with Sword Quest? What if I did it in a book?" H says, "Try doing some research for a change, I-Rock. I mean, did you ever hear of Wikipedia? It's free, douchebag. So it's good to know that Wikipedia remains free in the 2040s. iRock wanders off, saying he doesn't know all this trivia because he spends all his offline time getting laid, while H and Wade, again, do a bit of trivia about Sword Quest between each other. H, iRock, and Wade are all called back into their classrooms, respectively, different schools from the sounds of it, and H reveals that he keeps iRock around because if iRock represents the standard quality of their competitor, then maybe H and Wade do have a chance of winning the contest. And with that, H and Wade make a date to catch up and have a Spaced marathon. Spaced was a British show from the late 90s, early noughties, you know, and it was sort of the nerdy sitcom. But being nerdy wasn't the only thing that it had going for it. Like, yes, Simon Pegg's character got angry whenever somebody mentioned the Phantom Menace, but Spaced had heart. The nerdy stuff wasn't the only thing it had going for it. Just mentioning it in this book is just saying, my mission statement is to make Spaced but a big epic quest story. But instead, just by mentioning it, you're turning me off, man. You're not doing Spaced, you're just doing everybody else's ideas stitched together. And with that, that's chapter 3 finished. What a journey that was. I learned so much about Ewoks, including the fact that apparently they're called Endorians. Is Endor the forest moon? In the comments below, tell me if Endor is the name of the forest moon, or if the forest moon orbits Endor. That's your challenge. Look that up, give me a definitive answer. We'll meet you back here next week. I've been Gherkin. You can find me on Twitter at TheLastGherkin, Tumblr TheLastGherkin, YouTube TheLastGherkin, where you can watch this with subtitles, or TheLastGherkin.podbean.com for a nice MP3 download of that. See you next time, Penisville! Oh. Isn't there a Zelda enemy named iRock? Isn't there a Mario boss named iRock? I just seamlessly edited out the part where I thought it was a Zelda boss. You should have seen it. Amazing.